from the head down and not the feet up. And I'm adorned with a crown that's making this up. And I'm fine, fine, under cloud nine. Yes, I wear the lamb's wool, the feet of burnt brass, and the wool defies gravity like the nature of a gas. And I'm fine, fine, under cloud. Been chosen to wear the conscious cloud, and I'm fine, fine, nine, nine, under cloud nine, nine. I be a chameleon and wear it bone straight, but it's so much stronger when it's in its natural state, and I'm fine.
Everyone, and come on in. I want you to know that music is like poetry and it has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the curtain, our musical curtain, to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you will sure find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibration. So I want to thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, this week's show and program, we have two diamond segments featured by our student host, Walter Pierce. Now, the first is considered the first liberator of the Americas, Jasper Yanga, and the second, Shaquille O'Neal, an American former professional basketball player. We continue with our definition feature on financial literacy and the word portfolio. Now, we'll find out more about that later. Rounding out our show for today will be our curtain segment, and you'll be able to hear the sound and find out what he's doing with Usher Raymond, right? Better known as Usher. Now, let me get a hold of the student host, right? Good morning, Walter, and what you think about the introduction?
Thank you for that introduction, and good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And see, history is like a diamond. Each person represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the torch of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, again, my diamond segment for this week is on Shaquille O'Neal. And see, we could talk a very long time about the many basketball accomplishments, championships, the MVPs, and the historic background with basketball dealing with Shaquille O'Neal. But really, what a lot of people also need to know is that he is just as great as an entrepreneur that he is a basketball player. And see, O'Neal has been sticking his hands into various pots and reaping millions for a while now. But few people know and have any idea of just how his entrepreneurship goes. He's never stepped completely out of the media spotlight, but he's chosen to play it very smart with his investments, and he doesn't flaunt what he has. Shaq simply assesses a business idea potential, creates a plan, and then makes it happen. And something you guys probably didn't know is that he owns 155 Five Guys locations, and he also owns 17 Auntie Annie stands across the country. Now, in addition to being a successful restaurant franchise, a significant portion of more than $20 million that Shaq makes each year from endorsement deals revolve around food, Fruity Pebbles, Muscle Milk, Vitamin Water, and Arizona Cream Soda are just a few companies and brands that have helped him rake in good money. The latter is a line of all natural sodas that bears Shaq's image and are the result of collaboration between him and Beverage Company Arizona. And one interesting fact about Shaq's food investment and endorsement is that he only chooses businesses with products that he actually uses. And, you know, we could compare this also when we talk about financial literacy every week with our definition segment, because something that you should always take into consideration when you're investing in the stock market is you should really invest in the companies that you use, because that helps you better understand what you're putting your money into and how you expect to get your money in return. And, you know, going back to the segment, you know, Shaq has turned down a number of high-profile opportunities, including from Wheaties and Starbucks, because he simply doesn't eat those particular products and wants his business dealing. He only wants his business dealing with things that are authentic to him. And lastly, let's talk about, you know, the work he has done in New Jersey, actually. He actually invested in the Cityplex 12 that is in Newark, New Jersey, in the South Ward. He is a big investor in that theater. And he also opened an $80 million luxury apartment building that is right over there by the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, aka NJPAC. And that's really, you know, showing the amount of, you know, investment that he puts back into his hometown of North New Jersey. And he's also opened stores and investing in different buildings all around New Jersey. So, you know, somebody like Shaq is somebody that a lot of people should really look up to, especially for a lot of athletes who, you know, who only think, you know, it's just their sport. But in reality, a lot of athletes could also use their platform and use the amount of following they have to also go into the entrepreneur field and invest in different companies, purchase buildings, real estate, all types of things that Shaq has done. And this really helps you continue to grow the amount of money that you have. And that concludes my segment on Shaquille O'Neal. I thank you for tuning in on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay.
Thank you. That's a very good presentation on Shaquille O'Neal. We, you know, we all call him Shaq. Mr. Harris, can you speak to some of the NBA basketball players who actually went into the profession of playing basketball and ended up broke?
Yeah, well, the list would be endless. But, but a lot of people now, they have different classes and stuff for rookies when they come in. Because, you know, if you're coming from a low socioeconomic spot and somebody gives you a couple $1 million, your first instinct is to go crazy. And that's what a lot of people do. They want to get the bling. Well, they need the big cars.
I have to get you to define crazy, yeah.
Well, crazy is, mentally crazy, but financially crazy. Because they'll go and they'll spend the money thinking that you're always going to have money like that coming back in. And God forbid they have an injury or get traded or whatever happens. And then that money doesn't come in. They didn't think about the future. They didn't think about their family other than that first house they bought for moms. You know, and a lot of that. You know, they need to talk to Walter about this financial literacy.
Okay. Let's go straight to the Black Librarian, Tamar Davis, if I've pronounced your name correctly. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I want you to speak to well, what do you know about the NBA? What do you know about investment? What do you know about Shaquille O'Neal?
Now, I'm not a sports person, so I don't know about the NBA. I'm sorry. I don't actually watch sports at all, so that's a fact. I wouldn't know what – I just don't. But what I do know about Shaquille O'Neal is that Shaquille O'Neal was a cousin to a great friend of mine – in Newark. And so Shaquille O'Neal would actually come around Newark, Johnson Ave, those particular areas and stuff like that. And he was well-liked. And he was pretty much known, you know, to be a prominent up-and-coming leader in the NBA during that particular time. But what I do like about Shaq is his great advocacy for academics. Being a PhD himself and actually engaging in infrastructure building in the city of Newark is phenomenal. To have walked in the city of Newark, to know Newark, to actually be a puller in the community is great. And actually, you know, to be able to show your face and people see what you're doing, and not just you physically, but they can see the results of the building of the infrastructure downtown, the building, the major complex building that he built. It's just great. You know, I have kudos to Shaq, and also he has a property, same type of property, a condo property in Atlantic City as well. So a friend of mine actually lives in that building. So it's great. I'm looking forward to seeing him doing even greater things in the future.
Okay. Thank you for your input. Tanisha, I want to bring you in and just tell us what you know about Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I guess everybody said everything about the different developments that's going on in the city of Newark. I don't know. I guess I have mixed feelings. I understand, yeah, you're born and raised. You spent over, you know, $1 million in the city of Newark. However, how is that benefiting, you know, low-income housing? Because, the median income that's in the city of Newark is only $33,000. So how are we impacting those residents? And it needs to come, you know, we have a lot of major players within the city of Newark, including Shaq. And how can we preserve low-income housing, you know, and working poor? Because it's serious, and we're getting priced out. And I think that needs to be part of the attention of these new projects that's coming in here. And it's sad that we actually passed a law called the Inclusionary Zone. And it said every new property, I believe, that's built after 2013, is supposed to have a set aside of 20%. But what happens is when these new projects come up, the 20% is not officially put in within those buildings. And sometimes they could put it into the community the housing trust fund, but then it's like, where does that money go? So I guess for that is, okay, it's good that he's here, but how can we move forward to make sure everyone gets to have, be able, you know, to live, play, and stay in the city of Newark? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're going to continue musically. Don't you go anywhere. Keep it locked. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio.
The night while I'm coasting around Kelly Drive, taking the scenic route over to the west side, I see this little streak of light flicker in the sky. Since the stars are radiating bright, I'm paying it no mind. Never once considered no sign of any kind. Extend my arm, turn the car stereo to 9. Head gorgeous by Silk 130 on auto rewind. About the third time it played, heard the beat sound, thought it was a part of the fade. Slightly phased, I pull over to investigate. Beat turning to a speech, making my ears ache, and the ground vibrate and my body levitate in the hypnotical state in the direction I face. Hesitate, too late, fell for the bait. Best bet, play safe, cooperate, whether in over my head or whatever the case. By chance, by faith, God planted it for me, no mistakes. Transcend physical, elevate, time one way, move on face, explore. By chance, by faith, God planted it for me, no mistakes. Transcend physical, elevate, time won't wait, move on faith. Okay, so I'm like floating along, tranquil feeling, sorta like I'm huffing the bone. Then I hear a voice telling me, relax, stay calm. Suddenly I'm conscious, saying the 23rd Psalm. Human-like figure approaching with open arms, lead pole, naked knife, jaw, glowy palms. Gentile grill, not intimidating at all. Medium built, height about 5'10", brown skin, looking like an African. Suiting knees or something, couldn't believe I wasn't petrified, feeling like I had to pee or nothing. So I was lower to the ground, so my feet to touch it. By chance, by faith, God wanted it for me, no mistakes. Transcend physical, elevate, time one way, move on face, explore. By chance, by faith, God wanted it for me, no mistakes. Transcend physical, elevate,
Now eye to eye with this like alien guy. By chance or fate, this place and time. Could it be coincidental that I passed the line? He replied, more like he could read my mind. Believe that I'm pleased to find you're the second specimen I done seen of your kind. Analyzed in, I must admit you're some fine advertisement for earthlings who keep their inner light shining. You got an aura that glows like a diamond to penetrate every realm that I dwelt in. Cause of your passion and life for excelling, you will to yourself the situation that you fell in. By chance, by fate, God planted it for me, no mistakes. Transcend physical, elevate. Time one way, move on faith, explore. By chance, by fate, God planted it for me, no mistakes. Transcend physical, elevate. Time one way, move on faith, explore. By chance, by fate, God planted it for me, no mistakes. Transcend physical, elevate. Time one way, move on faith, explore. By chance, by faith, God wanted it for me, no mistakes. Transcend physical, elevate. Time one way, move on faith, explore.
I want to thank everybody for, you know, actually doing a great job of radio silence during the music. But I want to bring Walter back on. Take it away, Walter.
Yes, and my second diamond for today is actually on a guy named Yanga. And, you know, a lot of y'all probably do not know who Yanga is, but let me tell you, he was a prince. Yanga's one of the first black liberators in the Americas. He led one of the most successful slave rebellions. Yanga was born in 1545 in West Africa and was a member of the royal family of Africans Gaboon. He was an African prince. Yanga was one of many enslaved people brought over from West Africa and forced to work in the Spanish sugar plantations in New Spain, a.k.a. Mexico. Yanga led a slave revolt and escaped with a group of followers into the mountainous terrain surrounding Veracruz. They went on to a place called Pico de Orizaba, or Star Mountain, which is the highest mountain in Mexico. Yanga and his people built a small maroon colony. These colonies were called maroon because they were made up of African runaways who escaped slavery in the Americas and formed independent settlements or joined with the indigenous people. Yanga's colony was called Say Lorenzo de los Negros. But in 1932, the town changed its name to Yanga. Yanga and his people survived more than 30 years through farming. They also waged a campaign against the Spanish colonial rule, raiding caravans that carried goods and other supplies between Veracruz and Mexico City. Yanga's raids and the ongoing movement of black and indigenous slaves to his communities upset the Spanish plantation owners, so they called on the colonial government to take action. The Spanish authorities decided to take control of the territory again in 1606. Yanga asked the Spanish for an agreement with a term that included a free area only for Yanga's group, and in compensation, they would fight in support of the Spanish in case of any conflict terms, and decided to begin a battle against Yanga's group that ended up with several losses on both sides, and they could not claim victory. Finally, the Spanish had no other choice than to accept the terms laid by Yanga. 5 decades later, in 1860, after the Mexican independence, Yanga was recognized as a hero of the Mexico, thanks to people in the area, and the grandson of the Afro-Mexican president, Vincent Guerrero, who gathered the first information about him. And that concludes my segment on Yanga. And this is a, you know, amazing story to hear about. You know, we talk a lot about people really between the time period of like 1850, 1860 to up to now. But I'm going back all the way back to the 1600s where we have, you know, the people who were descendants of us. I mean, people who came from, again, like 400 years ago during the slavery period, the beginning of it. And just to see the determination and the non-fear that he had really is really the reason why he's recognized today in Mexico. You know, he was able to lead a rebellion, lead people to be able to get the things that he wanted and able to progress people that he was with. Because a lot of people were trying to escape slavery and were bonding together and building, you know, building together so that they could be able, you know, to be stronger and to fight against people trying to attack them. So that's really what he did. He led a group of people against the Spanish so that he could gain, you know, the territory that he wanted for him and his people. So really, the great story, a lot of people really didn't know about. I didn't know about this, you know, either. But when I looked it up, it was really a great story. So that concludes what I have for Yanga. And you are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU.
Okay. Good morning, Tanisha. I want to bring you in on this. And I know just from previous conversation that this is the first time that you've heard about El Yanga. And, you know, there was a historian who said that we were not slaves, but we were, in fact, prisoners of war. And when we look at listen to the story that Walter presented to us this morning, talking about how this uprising and this fighting back, he fought back like a prisoner of war to establish carve out area, a place for him and his own people. What do you think about that?
That is very powerful. We need to take some of the lessons that they did then to now, because I really don't understand my generation. Because it's like, what are we fighting for? What do we stand for? And our ancestors were so powerful, and they were so focused, and they were not, like, led astray by distractions, you know? And it's sad that, you know, how do we have our own upliftment and our own empowerment in a time, you know, like now of, you know, 2021? What do we do? And how do we learn the lessons, you know, from our ancestors that fought so hard? And they knew the value of life. And it's like, how do we take those lessons to show, you know, our generation now the value of life and that we do have a right to live, you know, a beautiful life. So that's what I take for. And it makes me want to study more to see how they did what they did, you know, for him to have such a powerful movement, you know, everyone was on the same page. So I guess, you know, how can we take what he has done and put it in now? And to really, like, mobilize and really make a major impact for generations to come.
All right. Thank you so much for that input. So well said. Mr. Harris, I'm coming to you. Tanisha mentioned something about fighting. And I almost interjected, but I wanted her to finish her statement. But my question to you, Mr. Harris, is are we still fighting for a better life for our people, for ourselves, in our community?
Well, I believe a lot of people are fighting for themselves. not as much for the whole community. You know, we have seemed to have fallen into the mindset that whatever's good for me is good for the community. And sometimes that's not always the case. And just like Tanisha and Walter were saying, we had a whole different mindset when we had physical chains on us. You know, we understood what freedom meant. And as quiet as it kept, there was no such thing as happy slaves. You know, everybody tried to fight, and the few that stayed there were doing it not out of love for their position, but they were doing it out of necessity to keep their family alive. You know, so we have always fought, but what the difference between then and now is, like Tanisha said, we had unity, and everybody was in the same mindset, and we all worked and moved together, and that's what's needed today. You know, we think, you know, we point to individuals that have done certain stuff, but if it doesn't help the whole community, then it's really nothing to be proud of. That's the whole Carter Woodson was talking about, the miseducation. You know, we think if an individual does something, that helps everybody, but that just helps that individual. So there's a lot of new things that we have to start thinking the old way.
Okay. Well, you know, it's around that time of the year where we, some of us who acknowledge the holiday of Kwanzaa, you know, self-determination and being a collective working together in unison. But that being said, you know, Tamir, the Black Liberian brother, talk to us. You know, give us a just talk to us, because I almost said give us a roadmap for the future, right? I know that I asked you to look into the history, and you can talk about how things related to this particular individual's rising and the fact that he's still being acknowledged with a statue erected in his with his name and his. And in Mexico today, but we need to look at where are we going. And I know you're not a visionary and you might not have the answer, but I want you to attack this question as best you can, because we need to be solution oriented. Okay. So, and I do love talking about Nat Turner and El Yanga. All right. And realizing that we were prisoners of war and not, you know, quote unquote, the name that was given to a slave. Anyway, take it away. Good morning again.
Good morning. I believe that as a librarian, I am part of the social engineering process by being able to supply information to the public. And that's my role and that's my job, to help social engineer, to help educate, to help inform the public, and I love doing it. In terms of El Yanga was considered by the French and or the Spaniards a cimarron, and a cimarron was considered a person that rebelled or was against the conquistadores or the colonializers that was actually trying to control or have controlled the New World. And so those people of African descent, or those Africans from West Africa, Gabon, whether it was Gabon, Cameroon, any of those areas, when they came in, not everybody actually agreed with the idea of becoming a slave or being a slave. Some of the slaves actually jumped off in groups on chains prior to even being considered a slave. So the rebellion was a very important process of them trying to move forward with it. There were millions of slaves that didn't agree to even step on the land because they came from their own reality. They came from their own concepts. They came from their own folkways and mores. They jumped off in groups and did not agree to come in. So for those who were not allowed, and then they had to actually force them not to jump on the ship. But for those who did not have the opportunity to jump off the ships, when they got to the land, the same rebellious, a Cimarron-type spirit was within them. So El Yanga, Quilombo, if you look at different parts of Africa, New World, a lot of those brothers and sisters was going to war. That's where you get the whole idea of the Cimarrons in Jamaica and different parts of the Caribbean. So the idea of what happened in Mexico, in my concept, was something that was a diminishing return based on what the conquistadors attempted to do. This is what they attempted to do, continue to enslave, and a lot of people didn't agree with it. And you still have people that's rebellious and against the concept of colonial rule today. So it was a collective consciousness on the ships, jumping off the ships, not wanting to be a part of it. Those who came into the land, who did not want to be a part of it, they went to war. They went to war. They was willing to die. They were willing to engage in fratricide and suicide collectively, opposed to being by a different rule. Thank you.
Thank you. And maybe we're dealing with a different type of enslavement today. Mr. Harris mentioned Carter G. Woodson, the miseducation of the Negro, and maybe indeed it is a mental slavery. That being said, we're going to table this particular discussion so that we can continue on with our program. Walker, if I just take a moment, what is your vision for the future for our people? And I know that's a lot to lay on your doorstep, but go ahead and take a shot at it.
Yeah, in several terms, it's going to be a lot of progression because we're getting a lot of opportunities in society, and I believe that we're going to continue to take advantage of those opportunities and use it for good. And really, it's really back at this point. It's probably really the best, time we have to continue progression. So I see a really bright future.
Okay. All right. So musically, we're going to continue with the sounds of Marvin Gaye. Let's check it out. Thank you. To the sounds of Marvin Gaye and Harvest for the World. It is at this time more than ever, and maybe it's just been that way for us as a people here in America, that we need to collectively come together and work together to improve one another. And that being said, it is to be understood that even during this pandemic, people have been shunned. People have been pushed away, if for safety reasons, and don't get more than 6 feet away. And for some, it was, that was right up their alley because they never really wanted to be close to you in the beginning to start with. So for anyone out there that feels shoved or pushed away, suffering from any type of drug addiction, any type of depression, there's a 1-800 number I'd like to give you and say to you there's someone who might be able to not just give you a harvest, but maybe just someone to talk to. And that number is 1-800-662-4357. 1-800-662-4357. Now, this is not an attempt to dress it up to get you to call that number. It is an attempt to get right, 1-800-662-4357. So now, I'd like to turn it back over to Walter Pierce, and we are Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio.
Yes, and my second segment of today is on definitions. And see, this simply provides listeners with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for this week is portfolio. And today I'm going to just give, a couple of tips to be able to build a successful portfolio. And number one, to build a successful portfolio, you want to decide on your investment strategy, if you should be conservative or aggressive. For example, you may want to ask a financial advisor, then commit to your strategy by writing it down in an investment policy statement. Number two, you want to figure out your asset allocation. Your investment strategy informs your asset allocation. First, decide on the asset classes and subclasses you want to use, which include cash, fixed income, equities, or alternatives, such as real estate or commodities. Then determine how big each of these baskets should be and how much you want to invest in each one. Number three, you want to fill out your asset baskets. You want to start filling out your baskets for specific investments, stocks and stock funds, bonds and bond funds, cash equivalents, real estate investment trust, and commodity index funds. And, we talked about stock and bonds in previous shows, actually. And while filling out your baskets, put higher tax tax or tax inefficient investments in tax deferred accounts and lower tax, tax efficient assets and taxable accounts. So it can help you grow and increase the amount of income that you receive. And last, you want to always make sure you rebalance. So you want to make sure that, you know, you use and invest in different types of stocks, bonds, real estate, trust, or commodities. You don't want to overflow one because that could lead to you, you know, possibly losing if it's not going as well as it should. So this is why I talk about previous show when I talked about bonds, why you should always have not just have stocks, but also have bonds and other things, because something like a bond is probably the most reliable investment that you could do, because you're the person who's you're investing in is required to give you the money back at an interest rate. And usually it's given back through companies or governments, and depending on their credit, which for most of the time is usually going to be good if you're investing in it, you're going to get your money back plus interest in a good period of time. So really that's what I have for portfolio for this week. It just all includes the different amount of investments you make, and that's really your portfolio. So thank you for listening. And this is student host Walter Pierce, 189.5 WSOU.
Okay. I'm going to not waste any time and continue to go to Aesop Fable, right? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. But in particular, I'm speaking to you adults out there to remind you that you're never too old to learn a lesson. Now, this particular Aesop Fable, once I finish delivering it, I'm coming straight back to you, Walter, right? So you can tell us the moral of it. And this one you might find a little interesting. It seems that boys, it's titled The Boys and the Frogs. Well, some boys were playing near a pond. They saw a number of frogs in the water and began to pelt them with stones, throwing rocks at them, killed several of them. And when one of the frogs, lifting his head out of the water, cried out, "Pray, please stop. Stop, my boys. What is sport to you is death to us." What is the moral of that, Walter?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. That was a pretty interesting one. You know, I believe you should pass this on to somebody else. Probably.
Well, that's a good answer. We're gonna go to Mr. Harris.
Oh, I was gonna say pass it on, but you know, it sounds like, you know, we have to understand that all lives matter. You know, you just can't take other people's existence for granted. And that's about as deep as I'll go right now.
Hey, well, there are no wrong answers, including the answer, pass it on. Okay, we got the Black Librarian on the line. Take it away. What do you think the moral is? And do you need to hear it again?
I need to hear it again because I was engaged. I'm sorry.
That's fine. How did I know that? It seems that some boys was playing near a pond, and they saw a number of frogs in the water, and they began to pelt and throw stones at them, killing several of the frogs. One frog lifted his head out the water and said, "Pray, please stop, you know, boy, stop." And the frog said, "What sport to you is death to us." What is the moral of that particular Aesop fable?
I think the moral to that Aesop fable is that what's sport to you is death to us. I think that the frog was what I see that as is the frog was trying to get him to understand that the laws of cause and effect and the laws of karma. What's sport to you is death to us. If you do that to us, that same type of thing can come back to you. So you have to be considerate of how you treat others along the way that's not as big as you are or not don't have as much access. That's the way I see that story.
Oh, well, you hit it on the head. Okay. You saved us all here. Couldn't figure it out. Tanisha, you don't have to tell me the moral, but just tell me what you think about that particular fable.
It made me think about America and the world in general. They feel as though they could take from others, and you have to be subjected to the pain that they give you. So, and the frog had enough sense to step up and be like, listen, stop killing us because it's not right. So that's the moral that we need to take that in everything that we do and fight that.
That's giving it more depth, right? Walter, it's been passed around. So just what do you think about the fable?
You know, what I was really thinking is you could probably relate that a little bit to slavery a little bit, because when you say what's a sport to them is a death to us, when you talk about slavery, how thriving economically, white slave owners and the economy was because of free labor with African Americans. But the African Americans were greatly affected by it, even though, the slave owners and the rich white people in this country were profiting off of that. So, again, what was good for them, what was a sport to them, was actually killing and bad, for African Americans. So I felt, I can make that comparison.
Okay. That's acceptable. Mr. Harris, we back on your doorstep. What do you know? What do you think about the fable?
Yeah. Again, like Walter was saying, it kind of relates back to the kind of statements that people are making now with this Black Lives Matter. We look at the situations and how we can move in and out of different, consequences for people's actions and stuff. And there gets a point that people reach is like, yo, enough is enough. Cut that out. Because like you said, the life you save might be your own. So you need to just kind of look at it in a different mindset, that there's going to be a point where everybody's going to get fed up. You can only push somebody so far without somebody speaking up or trying to do something to protect themselves.
Okay. All right. So I'm not going to play any music in between, but I am going to say, Walter, be on the lookout. We're coming right to you right now. But I want to just say the written moral is one man's pleasure may be another's pain. One man's pleasure may be another's pain. And that being said, it is now time for final segment of this morning, and that is Curtain, which is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtains of the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But we take the time to send people out, our people, to find out what benefits the community has gained from the artist. Now, Curtain is a review of the musical growth and history and the impact of a particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience. And it's musical, lyrical, social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of musical releases. Now, that being said, we look at his genius and involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. And I now hand it back to you, Mr. Walter Pierce, for your segment of Curtain.
Yes, and just to talk about, Usher and his charity work, I want to mention the charities and foundations that he supports. And those include the Red Cross, End Up the Cancer, Sugar Ray Leonard Foundation, the Gentleman's Fund, the United Negro College Fund, the Boys and Girls Club of America, the Grammy Foundation, Leap Foundation, Declare Yourself Choirs, Barbara Davis Center of Childhood Diabetes, and the Gabrielle's Andrew Foundation. There's many others that he also supports. And, causes he heavily supports includes AIDS and HIV, at-risk and disadvantaged youth, cancer, children, creative arts, diabetes, disaster relief, economic business support, education, environment, and human rights. And this is something that is really important because, you know, somebody like Usher, everybody, a lot of people I know listen to his music. And, you know, to be able to be an influence that he is, he also should also help others with that influence that he has. And that's exactly what he has done. So, again, thank you for listening to my segment on Curtains, which talks about behind the stage and what they do besides their musical talent.
Okay, we're going to take a listen to Usher, and when we come back, we're going to close out and head on out the door.
Peace up, A-Town Down. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Usher. Let's go.
Tryna get a little VI, keep it down on the low key. You should know how I feel. I started shorty, she was checking up for me. From the game, she was screaming in my ear. You would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Okay, so I want to get everybody on for a last input and just give us a comment, a shout-out, or whatever you'd like to say. Starting with Calvin, good morning to you and a quick shout-out.
Good morning, everyone on the Quest Youth Gang. Great show, very intense. I really appreciate the idea of having a conversation with Walter regarding the conditions of slavery, and everybody had great input. You guys keep up the good work. Have a great day.
Thank you. And we have our number one fan, Val. Good morning. Input, comment.
Good morning, Quest Youth Radio, the best youth radio. Fabulous show.
Okay. Tanisha, last word. What you think?
It was a great show. A lot of informative information. We just got to keep it pushing and keep striving.
Okay. The Black Librarian, Tamir, what you think?
Great show. Great show. My therapy. Thanks. I missed my therapy last week. Back again.
Watch out, my outfit's ridiculous. In the club looking so conspicuous. And
And Mr. Harris. Last final words for input.
Yeah, great show, and remember, everybody that was enslaved won the slave.
Okay, Walter, close us out.
I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Plus Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus theme hall in South Florida. Plus Youth Radio is the best.
Everybody,
the best.
I'm doing the muscle. I'm doing the muscle. I'm doing the muscle. I'm doing the clap. Hey, I'm doing the clap.